The following message is entitled The Islamic Invasion. It's given by Dr. Mori.
We have with us a very, very special guest, one of the most intriguing guests we've had in a long time. We've had him on some of our other programs. His name is Dr. Robert Mori. He's the author of some 40 books and pamphlets. He is a really fascinating person to interview. We want to have him on sometime on his book, Fear of God. But right now we want to talk about the Islamic invasion of the United States, because you see, most people really don't understand that there are is an organized effort to bring in a number of groups that have an entirely different culture that will basically begin to erode the structure of our country. And of course, most people think of the Hispanic invasion from South America and from Mexico, and certainly there are a lot of wonderful Hispanic people, but they are bringing in hardcore revolutionaries. Many of them are being financed by illegal immigrant organizations, LULAC, MALDAVE, being financed by the Ford Foundation. But we have another group in America that really are intent upon the disruption of our society, and these are the Muslims. Dr. Mori, I was so surprised when you mentioned that in Detroit, is it Detroit where they have such a large percentage of Muslims. What's happening in Michigan?
Well, in Dearborn, Michigan, the automobile factories, in order to break the back of the unions, brought in unskilled laborers from Egypt, and 70% of Dearborn, Michigan is now Muslim.
70%. And is that true in other areas, or at least smaller percentages?
Well, that's the most concentrated. The other places in the United States would be Jersey City, Hoboken, from whence the Muslims control the taxis in New York City. Most of the Muslims involved in blowing up the World Trade Center, and they were also going to be blowing up the UN building. Now, I would give them that, wouldn't you? I'd let them take that out. The FBI building, but then I'm an old New Yorker. They were going to blow up the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel. Don't touch the tunnels.
Well, now, of course, what insanity is this? Why would they want to do something like that?
Well, you must understand that in Islamic thinking, America is the great Satan. This is what they march and chant from Cairo to Baghdad. It's what Gaddafi, Saddam, you name it, they claim it, they preach it. The United States is viewed as the base for evangelical Christian missions. Do you know, realize that Christians in the United States give more money toward missions and to spread the gospel than any other country in the world? If the United States could be brought to its knees and forced to convert to Islam with the oil weapon or with the net threat of nuclear war or the destruction of the churches, if they could somehow stop the flow of money and missionaries from the United States, worldwide missionary activity would die.
Well, of course, most Americans say, well, that could never happen. I mean, that Christian America could never be destroyed. But is there an organized effort on the part of the fanatical Muslims to destroy this nation?
Absolutely. And Pat Robertson called me for the 700 Club and said, Dr. Mori, it's time to do an update on Islam. And I said, well, give me a camera crew and let's fly up to Dearborn. I have a new subject that has come up in the Muslim community. It's called the 2020 program. And the 2020 program simply is this. In the year 2020, if the immigration rates continue, legal and illegal, and the conversion rate continues, there will be over 25 million Muslims in the United States. They then will be the second largest organized religious body, next only to the Roman Catholics, who are about 40 million. Even the Southern Baptists are not slated for that. They may be 15 million by that time. But at that time, in the year 2020, the Muslims got on the videotape, and the report was aired on 700 Club. It created quite a storm of controversy, with all kinds of politicians screaming, but then I got it right out of the Muslim mess. In the year 2020, number one, there will be a Muslim in the White House rigged by the Democrats.
Now, why are we intentionally bringing in large numbers of people from a different culture who hate America?
Well, it all goes back to, part of this has to do with the Federal Reserve. Did you ever hear of the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island?
Yes, I certainly have. That was written by my good friend Ed Griffin.
Well, then you know that these roots go back very deep, and it's during the Kennedy years, and this has all now been documented, that Kennedy gave the order that in terms of immigration, no more white Christians, no more Europeans to immigrate to the United States. We have to bring in these third world pagans in order to dilute the Christian basis of this country. So if you were a Pakistani, a Nigerian, if you were from Egypt, you got into the United States like a hot knife through butter. If you were a Frenchman, let's say you were from England, an Anglican, and you wanted to emigrate, my land, you had the proverbial chance that a snowball in hell has.
And, of course, most Americans do not know there is an organized effort to destroy the ethnicity of our nation and ultimately then to destroy the religious foundations of our nation.
Well, see, it's easier to pit one group against the other in a society in order to keep them enslaved.
Absolutely.
If the people are united, it's very difficult to keep them enslaved.
And they've done this so effectively in Canada, pitting the English against the French-speaking population, the French-speaking against the English, play one against the other, divide and conquer. We're going to have to take... Well, this is Dr. Stan Heck back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Robert Morey, and I want you to know how to get in touch with his ministry because he has a lot of fascinating books. One of them, of course, we strongly recommend, and that is The Fear of God. But, of course, he has a book on the Islamic invasion. Dr. Morey, how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Well, they just need to call 1-800-41-TRUTH, that is 41, then the word truth, T-R-U-T-H. And matter of fact, when they call, they'll not only get a free catalog, but I'm going to offer to your listeners a small booklet entitled, Will Islam Cause World War III? And in this and they just simply call 1-800-41-TRUTH and say, I would like the free booklet, Will Islam Cause World War III? In that, I am quoting from the head of the FBI, the CIA, the Foreign Relations Committee, the State Department. In other words, these aren't bug-eyed Christian preachers with axes and Bibles in hand. You know what I mean?
Right.
They can't be dismissed as, oh, well, these have come some kind of conspiratorial nutcases. Instead, you're quoting from the establishment. And the establishment is saying the Muslim fundamentalists, as their goal, they want to build an empire that stretches all over the Middle East, one empire called the United Muslim Brotherhood. That's why Israel has to go. It's like a dagger right at the heart of this empire. Soon as they get it in place, they're going to launch a nuclear attack upon the United States. Clinton himself is no hawk. Would you not agree?
I would certainly agree.
Yet he himself has been so thoroughly briefed on this coming reality, nuclear attack from intercontinental multi-headed ballistic missiles coming out of Iran, Iraq, etc., that he has gone ahead and they have put back online Reagan's Star War program to put satellites with lasers capable of knocking down these satellites as they come out of the Middle East, and they're going to strike Europe and strike the United States, which is the great Satan. And you have to think of why these liberal, instead of Democrats, I call them demon craps. These demon people in Congress have done a complete turnaround, and whereas they mocked the Republicans for wanting Reagan's Star Wars system, now they're clamoring for it.
And, of course, I think it's so interesting that the Rumsfeld Commission, which Bill Clinton appointed, came out along with James Woolsey, former chairman of the CIA, and said, we've got to have a defense because, of course, there is a very real threat of an attack on America. What really disturbs me is, of course, that we are continuing to transfer technology and money and funding to communist China, and then they are, of course, providing the technology and the wherewithal and the parts to Iran and to Pakistan and perhaps to Iraq, but certainly to Iran and Pakistan to build intercontinental ballistic missiles with our own technology. It really doesn't make sense. Now, of course, one of the most disturbing things was there a PBS, a special that was put out by a reporter who actually went into some of these Islamic training camps. Could you tell that story? Because my understanding is that man is still in hiding in America. He's afraid to come out, and Barbara Walters doesn't want to tell you about it.
Well, PBS now and then does something right. If you ever watch Rumpole at the Bailey, at least they got that British comedy right. But they released Stephen Emerson's movie, American Jihad, in which he documents that there are revolutionary Muslim fundamentalist terrorist active cells stretching from sea to shining sea throughout the United States. They are in every major mosque raising money. The FBI raided a Muslim retreat center, which, of course, they told everybody, well, that's our retreat center where we go for prayer and fasting and Allahu Akbar and all that business. Well, when the FBI raided it, they found enough grenade launchers, missiles, submachine to start a war in any Central American country right there and then. And, of course, for about 20 years, I've been yelling about this. Nobody listened to Dr. Bob. I was on the radio the week before the World Trade Building was blown up, and I said, listen, it was out of the Salem, New York radio station. I said, the Muslims are up to something. They're going to make a big strike against Satan. I think they're going to blow up the world, the Liberty, Statue of Liberty. And, of course, they called the week after and say, you were a mile off.
Right.
I said, well, maybe the ferry wasn't working that day. But the main thing is this, people began to change their tone because I told them the Muslims are ready, willing, and able to blow up dams, energy plants, Wall Street, subways. You know, right after that, they caught these two Muslims that had bombs in suitcases with shrapnel, nails, etc. They were going to go on the subways in New York City, and as a suicide bomber exploded in the midst of the rush hour, maiming, killing men, women, children. But you see, with Muslims, the more terror they do, the better off. This is why they like to kill grandmothers.
Now,
did you love your grandmother?
Now, my understanding is that Stephen Emerson actually went into the training camps, and
yes,
weren't they training the young people with machine guns and really training them militarily for the coming jihad?
Yes. Matter of fact, you have actual snippets. You call PBS or get to the national headquarters and say you want the video American Jihad, and you will see videos of summer camps, one right outside of Kansas City. And you will see the young Muslims jumping up and down with submachine guns, shooting in the air, death to America, death to the great Satan. Now, this is really going to get you. When I used to live in Pennsylvania and used to deal with this Muslim terrorism, I used to have on my website an update on the terrorist activity. Right now, we're putting up a new site. They can't get to me right now. You will never guess what happened, but one mile from my house in central Pennsylvania was the farm owned by the Muslims where they did the staging for blowing up the World Trade Center.
Well, now, my understanding is that the FBI came and warned you that you had a Pakistani Christian or so-called Christian working for you. What was that story?
Well, I was receiving my doctorate in Islamic studies from the Presbyterians at Faith Theological Seminary, Dr. Carl McIntyre. He's an old warthog that's been fighting communism for years.
I know Carl very well.
Well, you know, he's an old warthog. Believe it or not, he's married again and still alive.
Right.
But anyway, so he was there, too. I was deeply honored he'd be there. A man came up afterwards and said, we've taken this opportunity, Dr. Morey, to meet with you. Would you please, we need to be some privacy here. We went into an office. He was from the FBI, the Newark, New Jersey office. He said, I've come to tell you two things. One, you are on a death list for the Hamas terrorist group. We know you want to go to Israel as part of the celebration. Do not go. You will be a dead man. We cannot protect you. They can get to you there. Number two, the Pakistani secret police have infiltrated your organization, your ministry, and so-and-so is actually an agent of a foreign power under FBI surveillance. And, of course, my mouth is hanging down. I'm a country preacher here. This is America. And I said, what? He said, listen, remember the box of books you sent to this guy? I said, now, wait a second. The United States government opened up the mail. He said, we're the FBI. We open up anything we want. Since this guy is under FBI surveillance, we know everything. You sent him a box of your books. I said, yes. What did he tell you he did with those books? Well, he gave them to the congressman. No, he flew with them to Pakistan and gave them to religious and political leaders and said, you're going to have to kill this man, Dr. Morey.
And this man is now on your staff at this time.
Well, he was on my staff, had been in my home, slept in my home, brought his family, his kids. Ended up, he was a double agent.
Sure.
And he had been assigned to get me to go to Pakistan. And I said, you know, I told the FBI guy, I says, he's been telling me that he could arrange a trip to Pakistan that would be secret, the Muslims wouldn't know, and I could minister to the Christians. He said, oh, yes, as soon as you arrived, you'd be picked up by the police, and you would die very painfully and very slowly.
And, of course, my understanding that Stephen Emerson, who put out this video, The American Jihad, for PBS, is still in hiding.
He's still in hiding.
And, of course, the Americans don't know this. They have no idea what's going on in their own country, do they?
No, they don't even know about the CIA murders. I was doing a show, and I said, now, of course you know, and I told the host, this is out of Washington, D.C. I said, you know about the murders over at the CIA headquarters right outside of D.C. there in Virginia. What? I said, a Muslim, in order to demonstrate his prowess, walked up to the line of cars in the morning waiting to go through the checkpoint to get into the CIA headquarters. Now, these are women. They're secretaries. They have a cup of Starbucks in their hand, sipping their coffee, waiting to get in to go to work, right? He walks down the line, puts a pistol up to every window and shoots them right through the window of the car. Calmly walks over, gets in a car, gets to the airport, flies to Pakistan, and is scot-free. Now, the United States government eventually figured out who was killing all these CIA employees. They screamed like bloody murder. They said they couldn't find him, but Peter Jennings did and had an interview with him there in Pakistan. What came out was this. Now, you're sitting there.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to have to go to a break, but this really want to.
This is Dr. Stanback here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, of course, is Dr. Robert Morey. If you would like to get his fascinating catalog, and he's actually written a book on the Islamic invasion, the number is 1-800-41-TRUTH. That's 1-800-41-TRUTH. And if you call and you ask for the catalog, why, they'll send you a copy of the little pamphlet, Will Islam, what is
it? Cause World War III.
Cause World War III. And what's the name of your book on Islam?
Islamic Invasion.
Islamic Invasion.
And it's in Spanish, Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish, believe it or not.
Well, now, why don't you go ahead, pick up your story about I think we were talking about Mr. Emerson. Was that it?
Yes, Steve Emerson has cataloged and documented a terrorist network across the entire country in which they are preparing for the year 2020 to launch a full-scale attack upon our freedoms, and they plan on destroying the churches. Part of the plan is the conversion of African Americans to Islam, and I hate to tell you, but they've already converted over 2 million blacks to Islam by a complete fraud, telling them that Muhammad was a black man, Islam is the black man's religion, and that Jesus is the white man's religion, which of course is a complete farce. Muhammad was a white slave master, and that's according to their own scriptures. But back to even with the CIA murders, this is the connection. Are you aware, Dr. Stan, that the Muslims are converting thousands of the most wicked, violent prisoners in the world in the prison system in the United States?
I know that they are working there, and I know that they are having a tremendous, tremendous impact.
Well, one person has claimed that on an annual basis, just on the East Coast, they are harvesting between 35 and 40,000 black men converting to Islam. Mike Tyson is a good example of that type of effect. Now, you have to ask, why are the Muslims, and it's the Saudi embassy, by the way, I have proven this, because the tracts that are being distributed, the literature, is printed by the Saudi embassy to the United States. Why are the Saudis spending their oil money concentrating on converting rapists, muggers, murderers? Now think, if you want to have an army of men who have no conscience, who will have no hesitation blowing up school buses of little kids, attacking mothers in suburban shopping malls, then where would you find such evil, bloodthirsty men who would, as a racist attitude, go out to kill every white Christian they can get a hold? Where would you find that base?
I bet I'd find them in prisons of men who've already committed these heinous crimes.
Yes, and you would use Louis Farrakhan and his ilk, preaching that white people are devils, who has his own army called the Fruit of Islam, and you would feed him money, and to the tune of $1 billion. He has been promised by Gaddafi, Saddam, you name it. And why are they doing this? Well, remember the man who walked up and down shooting the poor secretaries right in their cars? An American black converted to Islam, trained by the Muslims, sent back in order to do this dirty work.
Now, what happened to him when he got back to the Islamic country?
Well, he was a hero, and the United States government could not get a hold of him, but Peter Jennings had no problems, and Ted Koppel and those types. And you found out that he was an American who was a jailbird, converted in the jail, has been trained to be a terrorist. Eventually, when it reached $3 million, somebody turned him in for the money, and he's been brought back to the United States. But you will not hear about this trial. You will hear nothing about this trial.
It's amazing how they can keep so many really important trials and made important events actually secret from the American people.
Well, because they figure, A, if this guy will sing like a bird, they will find out the names and the inner structure of the terrorist movement here in the United States. They want him singing, not dying. So they have to be very careful how they handle this. It was an American black converted in prison that went up to one of the ambassadors on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C., rang the doorbell. He's dressed in a mailman's uniform because he hit a mailman over the head, took the uniform, took the truck, drove to the embassy and said, I have a return receipt for the ambassador. Only he can sign for this. Now, you're seeing there's no act. He's not a Middle Eastern. He's an American black guy. He's in the postal uniform. Would you go answer the door?
Of course, everybody
would. Of course. So the ambassador came, and he said, wait, it's right here, pulled the gun out of the leather mail pouch, shot the ambassador between the eyes, calmly got back in the mail truck, drove off, and has never been seen again.
Well, of course, this sort of thing is going on in America, and it is part of this terrorist program, and yet, of course, it's being totally played down here in the United States.
Well, it's because they don't want to panic. Like here, I'm in Southern California. It finally leaked out that the United States government was forcing all the guys here in Camp Pendleton and whatnot to have shots and preparation to handle diphtheria and other biological warfare. Remember that flap?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask, why are they doing that? Because one of the greatest threats they face from Saddam and others is that a Muslim will get up, let's say Times Square, and he has a test tube in his hand. And he throws it over the fence, and the test tube finally breaks, and its contents is vaporized. That is, it goes into the air and begins to float around New York City, and 100,000 people die of some loathsome disease. That's all it takes.
What about the Muslims who, you know, all Muslims are not fanatical. Some Muslims are just sort of want to be left alone. They don't really pay a lot of attention to the Muslim religion. It's more of a form than a reality with them. What about the moderate religions? What about the parts of the Quran that talk about love?
Well, number one, you've got to recognize that when we talk about the Muslim fundamentalists, we mean those Muslims who take their religion seriously and believe and obey what Muhammad said to do. They're the ones who go out killing, maiming, looting, things of that nature. They're the ones, by the way, who have purchased the main news outlets here in the United States. The UPI, the API, are both now owned by the Muslims. That's why you won't see a lot of things in the news anymore. They decided to buy the news outlets, and that way they cut it right at the source.
You mean that's the freedom of the press? That means if you own the press, you're free to do what you want.
That's it.
Okay.
And then what about the moderate Muslims who are liberals? I debated one. Anybody wants to get a tape of a 2.5-hour debate with the Muslim liberal who's head of the Islamic Center here in Orange County, they can get that tape for me. You'll see a lot of that material.
Does it have a name? Because I think some of our listeners might want to get some of your video debates.
You can, when they call 1-800-41-TRUTH, they'll get a catalog, and in the catalog will be listed my public debates in universities, mano a mano. And you see, this is something the Muslims are shocked. I will go and debate them and prove they have a false god, a false prophet, and a false book. The way they respond is by chanting death threats. Fatwa.
I understand that one of them said something about the fact that they never forced anyone to become a Muslim. They could either convert or die. What was that story?
Well, one of the terrorists, as a matter of fact, FBI has identified him as a terrorist, has written a book against me, and I take it as an honor that 5 books have been written against me. And he says, Dr. Morey claims that Muhammad forced people to convert to Islam. This is a lie. What Muhammad did was to give people a choice, accept Islam or die. Now, the choice was left up to them because there's no compulsion in Islam. So, Mr. Morey, we put it to you. Are you ready to die for your faith in Jesus Christ? But what they don't understand is that I don't care about these death threats. So when they're screaming from the audience, he should die like a dog, I said, look, I'm from New York. I grew up with death threats. I'm not interested in them. Let's get on with the debate. So the Muslims have found an American who does not put his tail between his legs. I have my own security people. Nobody's going to get near me. I have to travel incognito for these debates. And I'm going to go toe-to-toe, eyeball-to-eyeball with these guys because somebody better do it.
Dr. Robert Morey has written, how many books have you written?
40, and I've got two more coming down the pipe.
All right, fine. Well, a very, very prolific writer. I thank Pat Matriciano, our good friend from Jeremiah Films, for putting us in touch with Dr. Morey, who's a tremendous wealth of information, and I really do want to get him back to talk about his very, very important book, The Fear of God, because this is something that has sort of been removed from the lexicon of the Protestant Church and even of the Catholic Church, and it's about time that people understand that, of course, this is one reason why Christianity is in so much trouble today. We've got Rich calling from San Juan Bautista. Hi, Rich. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I have one question. What is the Satanic Versus all about? I'll take my answer off here.
All right, fine. And that was Salman Rushdie's Satanic Verses. Did you get the question, Doctor?
Yes, but actually Salman Rushdie's fictional novel has nothing to do with the Satanic Verses that are famous in the Quran. Salman Rushdie wrote a book in which he related a very old Islamic legend that before Muhammad became a prophet, he was a worshiper, of course, of the pagan deities of the Quraysh tribe, including the three favorite goddesses, Alat, Al-Uzza, and Manat, known as the daughters of Allah, and Allah was the moon god married to the sun goddess, and these three daughters were stars. Now, he met them in a cave, and they appeared to him, and he had intercourse with them. Well, Muslim fanatics were so upset that an ex-Muslim, because Salman Rushdie was raised a Muslim, would dare reveal to the West this filthy, blasphemous, old story of Muhammad having sex with the daughters of Allah, that's why they said, look, he must die because he is an apostate. Muhammad said, he who leaves Islam must die. So the death sentence was passed for the crime of apostasy. Now, in the Quran itself, and I cover this in the book Islamic Invasion, there is a passage in which you read today in the Quran, what about Alat, Al-Uzza, and Manat? A question. Now, the footnotes will tell you these are the names of the daughters of Allah, and if it's a good edition of the Quran, it will tell you half of the verse is now missing. Originally it said, have you considered Alat, Al-Uzza, and Manat? Are they not intercessors between you and Allah? Much like the Catholics have the Virgin Mary, the Muslims, the Arabs had these goddesses as mediators. Well, when this was first preached by Muhammad, some of his followers threw a fit and said, you have now denied monotheism. So then Muhammad upped and popped said, oh, Satan inspired me to say, are they not intercessors? So there are verses in the Quran which Satan inspired, and we must remove them. So the Satanic verses are those portions of the Quran which have been removed because the prophet was inspired by the devil when he gave them. And of course, I have lots of fun with that. If Muslim scholars admit that even in one verse, Muhammad was inspired by the devil to put something in the Quran, then in principle, the whole thing could have come from Satan.
Well, of course, I think the average American honestly thinks that the Mohammedan, or the Muslim worships the same God that we do, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because, of course, Ishmael was the offspring of Abraham. But that really isn't true. Their God is not the God of the Bible, is it?
No, and the Arabs have nothing to do with Abraham. They're not the descendants of Ishmael. The descendants of Ishmael are the Midianites. It was a tribe to the south of Israel, but well north of Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula. Matter of fact, the Arabs already had cities and great empires long before Abraham was even born. So the idea that Ishmael is the father of the Arab people, when they were already existing before his father was born, collapses to the ground, and this is why your encyclopedias label the idea that the Arabs are the descendants of Ishmael as a clumsy myth or legend invented by Muhammad to give some kind of dignity to the Arab people.
But of course, they were really worshipped the moon god. That is Allah. Allah is the moon god, not the god of the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what symbol sits on every mosque and minaret and on their flags? The moon. The moon. The crescent. You have to ask why the crescent moon. Just like the cross is central to Christianity, the moon. Matter of fact, the word Allah, if you pronounce it backwards, halal, is the word for moon in Arabic.
But of course, the average American doesn't know that. The average Christian doesn't know that. And he almost thinks that there's some sort of a potential bond between a Christianity, Judaism, and the Arabs, whereas there, nothing could be further from the truth. The Jews came from the Old Testament. The Christians came from the Old and New Testament, and of course the Muslim religion came directly from Satan, as you say.
Well, and a matter of fact, the modern Jews are what we call Ashkenazi. The only true Jews that are genetically linked to Abraham are the Sephardic from North Africa and the Middle East. These blonde, blue-eyed European Jews are no more Jews than my Bichon dog Scotty. They adopted the religion, but they're not genetically the children of Abraham. And you must remember that modern Judaism has nothing to do with the God of the Old Testament. They don't even believe in the Old Testament. They only believe, if they believe in anything, the first five books. Most of them are pantheists, and they have rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a long time ago.
Well, aren't there any of the Jews who do still believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
None. In my debates with rabbis, be it Orthodox, be it Ashkenazi, Sephardic, be it dealing with the Jews who run the Diamond Center and who follow the Rebbe, Menachem Schneerman, who claimed that he was the Messiah, the conservative reform, Judaism was altered forever by the Renaissance. And the God of Judaism today has none of the attributes. So remember that rabbi running around why good things happen to bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to him carefully, modern Judaism, when it says there's a God, talk about an unknown God who doesn't know the future, who can't control the world, he's not sovereign, bad things happen because the universe is out of control. Does that sound like something Isaiah believed in?
Hardly, of course, at all.
But you see, Christians being entertained in their churches instead of educated have been told all religions worship the same God just under different names. When this is a lie.
And of course the thing is, people have to realize that there are many gods, but there is only one true God. And I think that is the very essence of what's going on today.
And I have another book entitled The Battle of the Gods. Another book that you would particularly like, When Is It Right to Fight? That Christians have the right not only to get involved in the military, the police force, not only to engage in just wars, but also Christians have the right to overthrow their own government when it is no longer functioning according to the principles of Romans 12, using the sword to protect the righteous and to punish the wicked. When a government begins to punish the righteous and protect the wicked, and God's people are denied legal access to the courts, that is, they no longer have equal standing with non-Christians, and they cannot make application to the courts for redress, And if Christians are ever denied the right to run for office, those two things would trigger it's time to overthrow this government like the Christians did in the American Revolution.
Well, let's hope that that time never comes, but certainly we're just going to have to wait and see. We seem to see this very definite anti-Christian bias increasingly on the part of our leaders. Ted Turner, Christianity is a religion for losers. Ted's back in New York City today addressing 1,000 religious leaders from throughout the world. I wonder if he's going to tell them that Christianity is a religion for losers. Dr. Murray, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Do you have any parting thought for our listeners today?
All you have to do to let evil triumph is nothing.
And the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they are ruled by evil men. Dr. Murray, thank you so very much
for being
with us.
Okay, God bless.
God bless, and I hope we can get you back on again.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Dr. Robert Murray, and I hope you enjoyed him. He's really a tremendous scholar, tremendous source of information. And again, his telephone number, 1-800-41-TRUTH. That's 1-800-41-TRUTH. And, of course, this is the time when we ask you to pray for America and to pray for our leaders, and certainly to pray for our ministers, that they may take a position of leadership in this truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And finally, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.